Let's open our Bibles now to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans, chapter 1. And I'm going to read and preach verses 11 and 12 this morning. And as you're turning there, let me just say what a joy and a privilege it is for me to be able to preach God's word to you again after being out of the pulpit for 5 Sundays. That is the longest I've ever been out of the pulpit. And I've missed preaching the word to you. And I'm very thankful to be back. I'm also thankful for those who preached in my absence, and I'm thankful for you as a congregation, because you receive the word so well and so gladly and humbly and teachably, and it's a joy to be able to preach it to you again, and it's a joy to return to the book of Romans together. There has been a lot going on in our church recently, and of course also in our country and in each of our own lives. But being able to get back into the book of Romans together, I believe, can steady us and ground us and unify us as a church around the truth of the gospel. And so let's turn our attention to the book of Romans together. We're in the middle of the thanksgiving part of Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome. The introduction to the letter was verses 1 through 7, and the thanksgiving part is verses 8 through 15. Which you can probably see is a new paragraph after the introduction ends in verse 7. And what Paul's doing here in this paragraph is three things. He's thanking God for the Christians in Rome, and he's telling them how he prays for them, and he's telling them how he longs to come and see them. And last time we looked at the first two, how he thanks God for them and prays for them in verses 8 through 10. And this morning we'll focus on the third, how he longs to come and see them, in verses 11 and 12. And the reason he longs to come and see them is so he can strengthen them and encourage them spiritually. And of course, be encouraged by them as well. And here's what we're going to focus on this morning. As we catch a glimpse of Paul's heart for these believers, we want to let it challenge us and inspire us in terms of our heart for each other as fellow members of this church. Do we have this same heart for each other that Paul had for the Christians in Rome, whom he never even met? That's what we want to be asking ourselves, and we can be challenged by that. And we can be inspired by Paul's desire and encouraged by it, because the same God who worked in Paul and changed Paul can work in us and change us. Paul's desire was to do good to these believers spiritually. And as we see that, God, I pray, will increase and strengthen our desire to do spiritual good to each other. So that's what we're going to focus on. And let's pray and ask God for his help, and then we'll begin. Let's pray. God, we thank you for giving us these verses for our spiritual good. We remember that these words are your words, not just Paul's words, but ultimately your words, because Paul wrote them as he was carried along by the Holy Spirit. And we have much to learn from them. And we do ask that you would challenge us about our heart for each other here in this church, and also inspire us to follow Paul's example by the enabling grace of the Spirit. Increase and strengthen our desire to do spiritual good to each other. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Reading Romans chapter 1, starting out at verse 8 for context, and I'll read down through verse 12. Again, our focus this morning is going to be on verses 11 and 12. Verse 8, this is God's word. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow, by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. We'll look at these verses under the three headings there in your sermon notes. First, Paul's desire in the first part of verse 11. Second, the reason for Paul's desire in the second part of verse 11. And third, a clarification about the reason for Paul's desire in verse 12. So first, let's look at Paul's desire in the second part of, or rather the first part of verse 11. He says there at the beginning of the verse, "For I long to see you." I long, I desire to come and see you, Christians in Rome. Paul's desire is to come and see them, to be with them. That is what he prayed for in verses 9 and 10. He prayed that he would succeed in coming to them. And that was his prayer because it was his desire. He wanted to see them, and so he prayed to see them. This same desire is seen throughout Paul's letters. Most notably, I would say, in the book of Philippians, in chapter 1, verse 7, Paul told the Philippian believers, quote, "It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart." I hold you in my heart. And then he told them in verse 8, "I yearn for you with the affection of Christ Jesus." That is, the affection that Christ Jesus has for you. And at the beginning of chapter 4 of Philippians, he referred to them as my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown. And again, similar statements could be quoted from other letters. Paul loved his fellow believers, and he longed to be with them, and he yearned for them with the affection of Christ. His desire was to see them and to be with them. Now let's pause on this for a minute. Ask yourself, do I have this same desire in my heart when it comes to my fellow church members? Do you love your fellow members? Do you long to be with them? Do you yearn for them with the affection of Christ? Now I trust that all of us do to some degree because God himself implanted that desire in our hearts when he regenerated our hearts and he's been sanctifying us. But nevertheless, we should be challenged by Paul's desire to examine our hearts and to see where we are with this. Do you long to see your fellow church members in corporate worship, for example? Or when Sunday morning or Sunday evening comes, do you sometimes feel like you could take it or leave it? Have you ever experienced that? Do you long to see your fellow members in corporate worship? That should be one of the things that gets us out the door on Sunday mornings or Sunday evenings, that we love our fellow members and we long to see them. We long to be with them and worship God together. Or if you've been at home watching the live stream for COVID reasons, consider as you challenge yourself on this, as the saying goes, has absence made the heart grow fonder toward your fellow members? Or has absence made the heart grow colder? Hopefully it's made your heart grow fonder, and so many of you have shared that it has with me, and Lord willing, you'll be able to return soon. We pray that you will be able to do so. But nevertheless, challenge yourself on this along with the rest of the body. For all of us, we should remember the fact that we need Christian fellowship. That's what the Bible says. And so we should desire Christian fellowship. We should not be okay with a lack of fellowship with our fellow members in our lives. If a Sunday goes by and we don't have fellowship with our fellow members, unless providentially hindered, we should not be okay with that. If a week goes by and we don't have fellowship with our fellow members, unless providentially hindered, we should not be okay with that because we need each other. We need fellowship with each other. And so we should desire fellowship with each other. So challenge yourself as you see Paul's desire here at the beginning of verse 11, "For I long to see you." Consider, where am I on this? How's my desire compared to Paul's? And wherever you see a lack of desire to be with your fellow members, and I'm sure we all see that to some degree, wherever you see sin in this area, remember to look to Christ in faith again, who cleanses you from your sin and changes you to be more like him. Pray that God would increase and strengthen your desire for your fellow members. Pray that God would give you Paul's desire that he had for the Christians in Rome. Even better, pray that God would give you Christ's desire for all of his people. Pray that God would give you the affection of Christ for your fellow members. So here at the beginning of verse 11, we see Paul's desire. He says, "For I long to see you." Secondly, we see the reason for Paul's desire. That's in the second half of verse 11. He says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you." The reason I long to see you, he says, is so that I can strengthen you spiritually. Notice, by the way, as a side note here, how dramatically Paul has changed by the grace of God. Before, his desire was to persecute the church. Now his desire is to strengthen the church. He'd done a 180, an about face. He was on a mission, actually, to persecute the church. But God turned him around and gave him a different mission, to preach the gospel and to strengthen the church. Galatians 1:23, the believers there said, "He who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy." Paul had changed dramatically by the grace of God, from a blasphemer and a persecutor and an insolent opponent of the church to an apostle and a servant of the church. The takeaway for us on that point briefly is that nobody is outside the reach of God's grace. I'm sure we've all been tempted to think at one time or another that some particular person is just too far gone and they'll never become a Christian. They're too hard-hearted or too hard-headed, or their beliefs are so far out there, or maybe they think they're already a Christian when really they're believing a false gospel, or we just think for whatever reason they'll just never change. As we see Paul here, and how God changed Paul by his powerful grace, we can be encouraged yet again that God can change anybody by his powerful grace. And so when it comes to that person who we think is an unlikely convert, we should be encouraged, and we should keep finding ways to share the gospel with them. We should keep praying for them, and we should keep trusting Almighty God with the outcome. And maybe you've been tempted to think about yourself, even as a Christian, in some area of your life or another, "I'll never change," and you're discouraged. Well, if you're thinking that way this morning, let Paul's example both challenge you and encourage you. If you're thinking, "I'll never change," you're not thinking biblically. You're forgetting Paul. You're really forgetting God, because God can change anyone, including you. He can change you instantly on the spot, if that's his will, or he can change you incrementally over time. But either way, he is able. So be challenged by Paul's example to correct any unbiblical thinking in your own mind on this, and be encouraged to put your trust in Almighty God. If he can change Paul, he can change you. So Paul now was on a mission to strengthen the church. And again, he says to these Christians in Rome, there in verse 11, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you." What is the spiritual gift he's referring to? Well, it's hard to be sure. He may be referring to a spiritual gift as in a spiritual gifts questionnaire kind of spiritual gift, like the list of spiritual gifts mentioned in Romans 12 or 1 Corinthians 12 or Ephesians 4. Or what seems more likely, based on the more general language of some spiritual gift, is that he's referring more broadly to just a gift that he wants to give them that is spiritual in nature, like the gift of him encouraging them in their faith, or the gift of him preaching the word to them, or the gift of him praying for them. He wants to impart to them that kind of gift that will strengthen them spiritually. But regardless of what precisely he's referring to, the idea is the same. He wants to come to them so that he can strengthen them spiritually. That's the reason he desires to come to them. "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. Well, what can we learn from this? From this reason for Paul's desire that he wanted to come to them so that he would strengthen them spiritually? Two things. First, this can give us the very simple reminder that no matter where we are in the Christian life, we always need to be strengthened spiritually. We never grow beyond the need to be strengthened spiritually. We never arrive at a point where we have no more weaknesses. We never arrive at a point where we're strong enough on our own or self-sufficient. Certainly in terms of our progressive sanctification, we do make progress in the Christian life. We do grow stronger in our faith and in our fruitfulness, but we never grow beyond the need to be strengthened further still. As long as we still have the flesh, as long as we still live in a fallen world, as long as we are still attacked by the evil one, we need to be strengthened spiritually. Even these Christians in Rome, whose faith, Paul said a few verses earlier, was proclaimed in all the world, still needed to be further strengthened. In light of this, we should beware of the pride of self-sufficiency in our hearts. That pride lurks in every single one of our hearts. The pride of relying on our own abilities, which is often shown in prayerlessness, or an unwillingness to ask others for help, or in a reluctance to admit personal weakness and failure and sin to others, like when we're sharing prayer requests with others. The pride of neglecting the public means of grace or the private means of grace. That pride lurks in every single one of our hearts, and so we need to watch out for it and learn to recognize it. Ask yourself, where do I see pride or self-sufficiency in my heart and life? Where do I see the pride of self-sufficiency in my heart and life? What are some examples of that, some manifestations of that in my life? Also consider this, what are my weaknesses spiritually? Where do I most need to be strengthened? Think about those things. As Christians, we should be humble people. We should be quick to admit our weaknesses. We should be quick to recognize our need to be strengthened. And we should look to the Lord of mercy for the strength we need. Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31 says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." We are always in a position of needing to be strengthened, like the Christians Paul was writing to. And it is the Lord who strengthens us. But he often uses means to strengthen us. And that's what Paul was getting at. The reason he desired to come to these believers was so that he could be used by the Lord to strengthen them spiritually. And the second thing we should learn from that is this. Following Paul's example, the reason we should long to see each other is so we can be used by the Lord to strengthen each other spiritually. The reason we should long to see each other is not so we can get from each other, but so we can give to each other. The reason we should long to see each other is so we can do spiritual good to each other, so we can strengthen each other spiritually. This is what the nurture part of our mission statement is about. It's written on the back of the bulletin. Our mission statement is always on the back of the bulletin, by the way, whenever you want to refresh your memory of what it is. It says, "We exist," meaning we as a local church, "we exist to glorify and enjoy the triune God of Scripture through worship, nurture, and witness." And the bullet point about nurture says, "We nurture growth in Christ in ourselves and in each other." So we believe from Scripture that part of what it looks like for us to be a healthy church member is that we're seeking to grow spiritually ourselves And also, we're seeking to help each other grow spiritually. That's part of our responsibility to one another as fellow members of the same church. We want to glorify and enjoy God by helping each other grow spiritually, by strengthening one another. So practically speaking, what does that look like? Let's think about that for a minute. It can look like a lot of different things. But first and foremost, we can pray for each other. We can pray for each other with each other when we're together. You can just pause the conversation and say, hey, why don't I pray for you about that? And just pray together right then and there. And let me say this. Please do not be afraid to do that when you interact with each other after the service or at other times you see one another, to pray for each other on the spot. It should be fairly normal for us to look around after the service and see lots of people talking to each other and to see at least some of them praying for each other. That is what Christians do. We can pray with each other when we're together. We can also pray for each other when we're apart. We can use resources like the membership directory or the prayer lists or the prayer updates that we send out by coming to prayer meeting on Wednesday nights and praying with and for each other there as well. We can also strengthen each other simply by talking to each other, talking about spiritual things, talking about the sermon or other parts of the service and what we were challenged by or encouraged by, or sharing what you're reading in the Bible or in a good book, talking about what's going on in your life in a meaningful way, or talking about the character of God or other topics of theology and how it applies to your life. We can do spiritual good to each other by talking to each other. And by the way, let me challenge you. Don't just talk to the people you're naturally drawn to. Branch out in terms of who you talk to. Go outside your comfort zone in terms of who you talk to. Younger people, go talk to older people. Older people, go talk to younger people. We need each other. We don't just need those who are like us. We need those who are unlike us too. And children, you can do this too. Children, it's great to be able to come to church and see your friends. That is a blessing from the Lord. But don't forget all the rest of your fellow members, all the moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and others. You should go and talk to them too and say hello to them. Ask them how they're doing. Or you could go with one of your parents to talk to them and interact with them. Kids, God can use you to strengthen and encourage others. And you can be encouraged and strengthened by them. For all of us, as we think about engaging with each other in conversation, we should always be thinking, how can I do spiritual good to this person right now in this conversation? How can I be used of God to strengthen them spiritually in this interaction? And if you're watching the live stream, you're at home, I know it's hard not to be here to be able to talk to people. I know that from personal experience over the last several weeks as our family has been at home under quarantine. But until you return to corporate worship, consider other ways you can connect with your fellow members. Perhaps you're already taking advantage of these. Use the technology available to us to connect with others in the church. Use Zoom, FaceTime, Skype, the phone to talk to others and to pray with others. Stay connected to the body in those ways. And I encourage us who are here, as we see folks who are not here, to reach out to them in similar ways and to connect with them. We can also strengthen each other spiritually by encouraging each other about the good fruit we see in each other's lives. And we should be generous and genuine with our encouragement. And on the flip side, we can help each other by challenging each other when we see bad fruit in each other's lives. And we shouldn't avoid doing that just because it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for all of us. We all know that. We should do that because we love each other. And we should do it with care and compassion and gentleness, applying the golden rule. We can also strengthen each other by comforting each other in the midst of suffering and hardship and loss, lamenting with each other, and reminding each other of the character of God and the promises of God. So we can pray for and with each other. We can talk to each other, we can encourage each other, we can challenge each other, and we can comfort each other, and much more. God has given us the gift of each other. He has given us helpers in the Christian life, so we don't have to go it alone. He has given us fellow pilgrims to walk with us on the journey to the celestial city. That is how good he is. That is how gracious he is to us. Like Paul, we should long to see each other and to be with each other so that we can strengthen one another spiritually. But notice, finally, point number three, the clarification Paul gives there in verse 12 about the reason for his desire to come and see them. Verse 12, he says, "That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine." In other words, I long to see you so that I can strengthen you spiritually. But let me clarify that I expect that strengthening, that encouragement, will be mutual. It'll go both ways. It's not going to be one-sided. It's not going to be a one-way street. You'll be encouraged by my faith, and I'll be encouraged by yours. That we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. So even Paul, the great apostle to the Gentiles, still needed to be encouraged by the faith of other believers. And even the newest Christian among the believers in Rome was able, by God's grace, to encourage the Apostle Paul. None of us are above the need of encouragement. And none of us are below the ability to encourage. We all need to be encouraged in the faith, and we all have the ability to encourage in the faith. And our faith, our common faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, is the source of our mutual encouragement. It's what encourages us. When we gather for worship here with our fellow members, we gather as those who are weary from the battle. Weary from the battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil that's taken place all week long. We gather as those who are weak and often discouraged. And when we come together, we realize that we are gathered with our fellow members who are fighting the same battles we are fighting, and who admit along with us that we are sinners in need of a Savior, that we are weak and in need of strength. And when we realize that we've all come together to worship Christ, the one who is our Savior, the one who is our source of strength, when we remember our common faith in Christ and we see that faith in Christ expressed in worship, we are encouraged. We are strengthened. We are reminded that we're going to make it because Christ is in us. We're mutually encouraged by each other's faith in that way. And when we spend time with each other during the week and we're involved in each other's lives and we see the fruit of our common faith lived out in our lives, again, we are encouraged by each other's faith. And I sense that as a congregation, we need that mutual encouragement right now. The coronavirus has had a major impact on all of our lives for about 9 months now. In terms of politics, we've just come through a rather tense and confusing election season. And over the last 2 weeks, we've been wrestling through the whole issue of the updated masking order and its implications for gathered worship and other settings. And that last one, I think, has been especially difficult and has put a bit of a strain on our relationships and on our sense of unity as a body. And because of that, I just want to say, as we draw to a close this morning, to each and every one of us, myself included, let's be encouraged by each other's faith in Christ. What unites us is the gospel, the good news of salvation from sin and death and hell by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. What knit Paul's heart to the heart of the Christians in Rome was the truth of the gospel. And the truth of the gospel is what binds us together. Whether we agree or not on the mask issue, Whether we agree or not on a host of other secondary issues, we agree on the gospel. We stand shoulder to shoulder on the gospel. Because we are together united to Christ, we can stand firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by our opponents, as Paul said in Philippians 1. So despite all that's going on that would seek to divide us, let's unite around the gospel. Despite all that's going on that would seek to discourage us, let's be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. And let's long to be together so that we can strengthen each other, so that we can glorify and enjoy God together. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we are humbled and challenged by Paul's heart toward these believers expressed in these verses. And we are also inspired and encouraged, knowing that you can work these same things in us by the power of your Spirit. And we pray that you would do that. We pray that you would increase and strengthen our desire to be together. Clarify our understanding of our mission of doing spiritual good to each other. And encourage us by our common faith in Christ. Lord, strengthen our unity around the gospel so that we can fulfill our mission of glorifying and enjoying you together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take a minute to think and pray about what we've heard, and then we'll respond to the word with singing.